What up, people? This is episode 208, and it's kind of a hybrid comic pod and normal episode of the PC Bombcast. And for the reason for that is this episode features lifelong best friends and current collaborators and both good friends of mine, Aaron Conaway and Daniel Moeller. Aaron, you know from his time on the episode and the books he's written, the Timberhaven stories like Waking the Weaver, and eventually the upcoming Monsters in the Park, which we talk about on the episode. And then Moeller, you remember, because it wasn't too long ago, Moeller was on here for his first issue. It just came out of Psychonauts Presents. Now we're talking about the second issue and even the third issue in which they're collaborating together and doing a story. And as you can find out, no spoilers, a lot of stuff for in 2021 and beyond with these two are going to come out, which is awesome. Other than that, you know, that brings me to the best thing on the message board is go check out IndiePlanet.com. We've referenced it quite a bit on here. Order Psychonauts Presents number one. Number two, you can get a pinup picture from me on issue number two, which is great. And I even make the comment that if you buy a copy and then you show up, and I will buy you a beer. And if you ask me to sign that page, which why would you? But if you do, here's why you would want to. I'll get you two beers. So that's two beers for just getting a comic book that you might enjoy. You can't beat that. Outside of that, I don't think any other message things need to be talked about. Let's just get straight into the episode. So once you hear the boom, you will hear a very, very fun episode that I enjoyed doing because I'm really close to these guys and I'm happy they're doing stuff together. So enough talk. Here comes the bomb. Now. It's a very strong choice to wait a minute. I think I know what that. What is? Oh, never mind. Is this like a selfie light that you've got? Is this light?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It's the only thing I have that'll hold the damn phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those phones being so heavy, it would be hard to prop them up on anything. I could see where that was. Hey, that
clearly
looks...
I can't work it. So yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I love the choice of the library background. It really plays into the author aspect of Aaron Conaway.
It's a perfect background.
That's right.
Are you done fiddle farting?
My what?
I said, are you done fiddle farting now? You look good.
Bourbon, so no, hold on.
Oh, yeah, get you something to drink and then we can start.
I need a closed room away from the family that has books. All the rooms that have books are open to the family with everybody around and shuffling around because that's awesome. I love that.
That does look great. I mean, that's a very AC looking space right there. Now, is your desk and your drawing, is that in a common space for everybody?
Kind of. So it's like my office, but we have one of those open floor plans. So
okay.
There's doorways, but there's no closed doors, you know, so it just gets too crazy and loud.
Now, I was going to say, now, when you are in that open floor plan, are people trekking through when you're in draw time, or is it dad's doing work time, so we got to kind of avoid that sect of the room?
Actually, no, not really, because when I get into drawing time, the house could catch on fire anyway, and I wouldn't really know.
It's tunnel vision at that point. Yeah.
I used to hate the fucking noise of kids, but after, you know, they're all teenagers now, I think I'm about used to it.
Well, hold that thought, and I know this is a very hard end, and we're putting AC on the spot. Well, we're going to go ahead and start and say, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm back. And you were just talking about, we were just talking about it. Well, they heard. So speaking of noises with kids, I was talking about this with some people over the weekend, drunk, of course. We drank an excessive amount of wine. My wife tried to save a pup, just a puppy, like a week ago. I put it up on Facebook, like who lost this dog, whatever and stuff. The puppy, as well as my nephew from time to time, comes over. I have realized that until I get into my late 50s, God, I hope 60s, and I'm a grandparent, I have zero tolerance for kids or puppies or things of that nature anymore, like none. Like, that dog was in my house for 10 minutes. I even just stopped working for the entirety of the time that dog was here because it just bothered me too damn much. Like, I'm like you. If I'm in the middle of drawing or whatnot, I'm really concentrated, we'll either have a movie on or we'll be doing something, and I'll just I'll tune it out to the point where Missy's like, why did we even turn this on? I'm like, I don't know. But you throw anything in there under the age of 4, and I lose my shit, man. I mean, I can't. I'm not built for it anymore. I don't even know how I was. Like, the way this one right here, his temperament, he could have never been a dad. I'm glad I was in my 30s when I became a dad, because in your 40s, it's a problem. You know what we're talking about, right, AC?
Yeah, sure.
And so for those that don't know, we are that. And the other voice you're going to hear, who, now that he's got his setup done and a bourbon in his hand, is also second time and returning guest, Aaron Conaway.
That's right.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
What's happening?
Not much. Like we were talking in the thread, I've been super excited about this, and I don't have any notes about it. You know, I didn't write anything down. And I've been kind of toying with the ideas of what type of episode this is. Typically, when I have someone that writes comics or does comics, it's automatically one of the comic pod versions of my podcast. But I also, and we're going to get into why you guys are both here together, other than the fact that you're very good friends, and it's because of the very good friends, I thought, well, man, I know we're going to talk about Psychonauts Presents. We'll probably talk about some Timberhaven stuff. Just, you know, we'll go across the board. But I got a feeling, too, because we're all good friends, we might just devolve into a conversation to where we're just, you know, to having your typical booze talk. Because there's a lot of fun stuff going in the world of pop culture. And me and Daniel didn't really get to weigh in on anything or talk about that kind of stuff because we were so Psychonauts promoting heavy on that last time you were on. So, I don't care where we go, but I think a good place to start is to let people know, because we had a very good, the episode you were on, Daniel, was very well downloaded. I hope you got an order or two out of it. I hope. Did a good, you know what? And we found that the comic book centric episodes do very well. And so hopefully that worked out. But for those that need a refresher, Daniel is the creator and now working on the third issue of Psychonauts Presents, and lifelong best friend to Daniel, and we even talked about it on that episode, is author Aaron Conaway, who's been on here for the books that he's written. And they, for the first time, it took forever to collaborate on this third issue of Psychonauts Presents. So I guess before we even jump into that, let's go back and paint a good picture of not necessarily how you guys met and your friendship and all that bullshit, but for lack of a better word, infatuation with comic books started. Did it start separate? Did one of you turn the other onto it? And how is it? How have you guys noticed in each other how it's evolved over the years?
I want to say that I had a cursory interest in comic books when I was much younger, mostly because I didn't have a whole lot of exposure. But Aaron was really truly the person that turned me over. He was the devil that led me into the comic aisle and taught me how to hide comic book issues in the food fair grocery store within the Hallmark card section so nobody else would get them. And definitely he was the one that turned me onto it. And it was X-Men 275, really. I can remember the exact issue. Uncanny X-Men number 275. I bought that issue with Aaron, and I remember we went back to your house and we sat on the back porch and you sat down and pointed out, okay, so that's Rogue and she does this and that, that's Magneto, and like laid out the entire mythology. And I was just...
Help me out on 275. Would that have been a Claremont issue?
Yeah, Claremont, Jim Lee.
That was a Lee issue, so...
Gatefold cover.
Gatefold cover. It was during the Shi'ar, the Skrulls that infiltrated the Shi'ar.
Yeah, they went to go find Professor X. So yeah, it's an amazing run. Love it. That, to me, that's the seminal run of X-Men, for, 'cause that was my jumping on point.
I got to think for all of us, 40 and above, it's Claremont and Lee have to be like, whether like for me, I started with Superman at a much younger age. But in terms of diving into comics, because that X-Men Lee run was really, really just a cup of coffee before Image launched. you know, and he defected. And that's what did it. That's what drew went from being a person that really likes the funny books and Superman and characters to like, holy shit, this is the greatest world ever.
It's true. And I mean, I've been reading, I'd started long before 275. I wasn't reading X-Men until around Inferno. So 230-ish is when I started X-Men, but I've been reading Hulk forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember another very vivid point in my comic book evolution as a fan. It was not the Inferno itself, but one of the glorious What If books, and it was What If Wolverine had become Lord of the Vampires during the Inferno, and that was another one. It was like I don't know why. It's not necessarily a great story. Those What Ifs, there were some fun ones. But
they're cool.
I remember the cover. I remember what if he would have. I got to see what it would have been like. And I love those what if stories. I'm excited. Aren't they doing
it? Well, they always ended horribly,
too. Oh, yeah. Like, it's never upbeat.
The worst thing could happen.
Now, aren't they doing a what if animated series for Disney Plus?
Yeah, Disney Plus.
That's going to be awesome. So when you turned him on to that, I mean, you guys had already been friends, I'm sure, for a while at that point, right?
Sure.
So what took you so long?
I was always interested in comics, but that's what tipped the scales into I was going to invest all my allowance and every dime spent towards the arena. Because even long before that, we were even creating comics long before that, Aaron.
Right, yeah.
We had created – I remember
that's when we started buying them.
Yeah, yeah. We created a Hulk comic together. We created this amazing story. We would spend all day long, like, playing as kids out in the neighborhood and shit and create these awesome stories. And what one we played out, and then we created almost a full issue of Hulk going into, like, another dimension, like, jumping into another dimension somewhere. And we had this whole mythology set up in this other universe where we had this whole adventure. It was fucking awesome.
I was riffing on Crossroads quite a bit at the time. Like, Doctor Strange had just sent Hulk to the Crossroads. So it wasn't completely original, but we kind of took it in our own little direction.
I remember when I was when I first moved to Lamar over to the west side of the state of Missouri, and I lived with my cousin for a cup of coffee, and I was probably 15 at the time. I was a freshman. And I was drawing a lot. And of course we stole from ideas. Like we weren't very original. But I remember getting pissed every time I would draw something because I would create a character called X-Man, and X-Man stole, like, he didn't steal, but he was a product of an accident that where Magneto was conversing with Jean Grey and Cyclops and all of them through Cerebro, and there was an accident, and aspects of all of them went in. So he was essentially a Super Skrull for the X-Men, and he had a lot of the powers. And I drew him. And by the way, I don't even know what the drawing looked like, but I'm sure it was awful. But any drawing I put out, my cousin would talk shit on me. He'd say, "You're just ripping things off. You got to create something original." And I get even more mad at it now, thinking back. Because you're not going to ever go anywhere unless you create something original. And I think, well, that's the dumbest advice to give a 15-year-old. That's a world of pressure to put on a 15-year-old to say you have to come up with something interesting and original. Like, that was not inside me at 15 years old.
Sure.
But go ahead.
All of us at 15 had that pressure with Image coming out, and everybody was wanting to create their own thing. And, I mean, Image was like our inspiration to create our own kind of comic universe, but it was all ripoffs. Like
everything in Image was a ripoff, kind of. I mean,
pretty much.
It's amazing looking back on that time in comic books, which is the most explosive, largest growth time for comic books. You know, pre Comics Authority Code, and how big it was, influential for us, certainly the three of us. And when you go back and read them, you know, if they made 100 books in that first year, 99 of them don't hold up, like worth a shit. Maybe maybe early Savage Dragon, maybe. I don't know. Even that.
Well, yeah, Savage Dragon was a blast.
Even going back and reading some of those others, like I just recently went back, well, Youngblood, of course, but Wildcats and Shadowhawk, yeah, they have no, there's no interesting quality really to any of them, and it was just all purely an art explosion. That's when everything was just blockbuster movie impact into the world of comics is what those guys, the energy those guys were bringing to it.
Now, that said, visually, you know, of the original seven, was it seven or nine or whatever, visually, you know, almost all of them are still the greatest artists in the history of comics. So there was some great stuff in terms to look at, and it was certainly marketed awesome. I had even forgotten as a kid until I watched like some documentary, I had forgotten that Malibu was the original publisher for all of the Image stuff.
Right.
So that inside cover was Malibu Comics until they went out on their own. What year do you think that it was when you guys were quote unquote creating your own comic with the Hulk and whatnot? That would be what, 92, 91, 90?
It'd have been earlier than that. It would have been more like late 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was even creating my own stuff on my own before that. Because I had a small collection of comics. I mostly read comics over at Aaron's place.
Yeah.
I remember being a tiny tyke. Like even third, fourth grade, I was putting pages together and stapling them together. And
well, it's fun though to think though that like it's almost like viewing everything through the lens of a movie. How you have that the original scene in the movie where it's young Aaron and young Daniel sitting around creating their Hulk comic, and then you fast forward 30 plus years and you guys are at it again.
True. Took that long.
Yeah, what did take so long? Again, I'm going to ask, what took so long?
Don't know. We had a dream during our adolescence, because that's when things really got heavy. Like we came together with another fellow too. We'll throw a shout out to Thrash, our buddy Thrash.
I know Thrash. Yeah.
Together with us to build our own comic universe. We were totally going to be the next Image, like full force. We had all of our characters set up. We would go on these little trips to like St. Louis to visit comic shops and stuff. And we would spend the whole time.
And that was a jaunt. For those that don't know, we all grew up in Southwest Missouri. So drive to St. Louis, you guys were putting in money to go to see comic book stores.
Yeah. Yeah. And we spent the whole time creating a universe and creating, okay, how do all of our characters fit in together into the same shared universe?
Right, because by that time we were old enough to know that like when Image kicked off everything, it was okay. Well, now we can't. That's too much Hulk. That's too much riffing this off. Like, how can we spin that to make it something new, or at least something we hadn't seen? That's when that started to grow out of. That's what Image brought for us, was the wherewithal to know that okay, we're gonna do this. We've got to do it.
It's got to be something real. It can't be half-assed and stealing ideas. But it's you know, kind of going back to nowadays, it is pretty fun to think about. And you know, you guys are always going to be Daniel and AC to me, and just the guys that we got drunk on New Year's with and have done really stupid things. We were, before you came on, we were just talking about Aaron, just like, you know, how you like. I've never really seen you intentionally stay all night anywhere, because you always bail. And so, I mean, just you're still going to be the guys. But it is fun to think about that, you know, the evolution of what your guys, that childhood thing from comic loving comics to drawing and writing to for both of you, not only to just remain friends all these years, but you stuck with it. Like, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, sure, everybody, and we've had some sidetracks along the way and got off on a lot of off ramps before getting back onto that creative highway. But for you to circle back at this point in our 40s, and you are both writing, you're still drawing. Well, both of you are drawing really now, because Aaron's drawing. But it's it's a testament to, one, your passion for the art form, but also your friendship. Because I mean, this is it truly is a 40 year journey that you guys have taken together on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting with, you know, the highs and lows that come with life. It was always on the back burner. And like you guys touched on it on your when
the last episode he was on.
That like it, we would, it would always be talked about. It was all, it would always be, you know, is this still cool? Okay, we'll tweak this. Is this still good? No, let's add to this. And then we finally, with this, it became an issue of, okay, well, we want to do this, but now you've got all these projects, I've got all these projects, and how do we find a place to do that? So to make something. And then finally this issue 3 is first time that happened.
Now, was it as simple as when Psychonauts 1 came out, did you realize, hey, we're going to be able to make this happen?
No, it was, I mean, he, cause Psychonaut is pretty mapped. I mean, he's like you guys talked about. I mean, he's, not to talk for you, but it was issue 2 basically where he was like, look, I've got some space
okay.
in the next issue. Do you want to do something? And like he talked about that, I was like, yes, just hold up. And like the next day I had, at that point, it was a 2-page little scenario, a little teaser we were going to do. And I had written, I mean, it grew from it was a 4-page that I had to edit down. And I think I mentioned something like, this was so much fun, I couldn't like not, it was bigger than this. It was, and he was like, well, throw some of that back in and we'll make it a 3-page. So we just kind of went back and forth, and the collaboration was just a blast. And it's been fun as he's like, my part, I passed off my part, he's passing back art. Like, I don't know, it just feels like what we imagined Image was like back in the early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know, I mean, it goes without saying, we're still firmly entrenched into the pandemic. Were you guys able to at all get together, or were you just back and forth over the internet sharing stuff back and forth that way?
We got once. Together once. Yeah, we got together once at a coffee shop, and I mean, we were both even a little like at that time, but it was just like everything was just like clicking together that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I could not see him.
Yeah.
Because we have done so many. I mean, even just like now, we're now doing 3 pages now that we're in our like early to mid 40s, right? But throughout our life, we'd always had get togethers and like retreats with one another, and constantly have contacted one another. Like when I'm 30 or whatever, I'm like, okay, I've got an idea now that this character is going to do this and this and this. Is that cool with you? Like in that section of our shared universe and our shared story, like this has always like continuously evolved together. But so I couldn't go with us actually doing something without having that face-to-face meet and me just sketching shit out and him being right there to like throw feedback. It was just imperative for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, because the way you presented your way you talked about it, just passing stuff back and forth, it does make you long for the ability, and not saying that this was ever going to be something that could happen. I mean, because we all have day jobs, but I mean the romantic pie in the sky side of it is essentially like Chasing Amy. You know,
that's the best part of that movie was
with Holden and
this is going to be our life. Like, because when we first came to Kansas City, that's what we thought. I mean, we even tried a half-ass pitch to Jim Valentino a Comic-Con. And it, I mean, in hindsight, it was ridiculously embarrassing, not for what we were trying to pitch, because I mean, I still think that was a fun idea. But the fact that we just kind of
no fear, just pitch something.
Yeah, just the equivalent of a cold call popping in front of his face, and he was just like, "Guys, we, you know,
now quick do this." Now, quick question: that was clearly a younger, more impulsive, naive version of the both of you. Would you think of doing that today?
God no. But hey, Valentino's credit. He was very generous. He gave very good feedback.
It was very cool. He was well within his right to be, because I mean, it was literally his booth. Like, we just kind of popped up there, and he could have been, you know,
give you your go fuck yourself moment, but he was cool about it. Yeah, that's awesome.
He was cool.
Hey, I always pictured him, and I know Image is not the theme of this episode, but I always pictured, of all the original Image guys and all the guys come out, he was probably the most grounded out of all of them.
It seemed like he was on all the interviews that I've listened to and everything. He was kind of like the Papa Bear of the group.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you remember, though, that the big shock? I mean, this is how the world has changed, obviously. The big shock in his comic was that Silver, or what was the name of it? It was
Shadowhawk
was black. That was the big reveal. Like,
well, and he had AIDS.
And he had AIDS, yeah. He was, yeah.
It actually was a big storyline element, even for Chapel in Youngblood and everything as well, too. It's like AIDS became this big story.
Yeah, it was, how times have changed.
Ridiculous.
Now, I'll tell you this. I was at a show one time, and I wasn't pitching anything. I can't remember the name of the comic, but it was an Image comic, and it was a fairly heavy into the religious aspect with and Hikas was reading it from Image at the time. And this was when this would have been like in the infancy of Walking Dead and stuff. So Image was really starting to get going as a place to go for creators and whatnot. And we walked by it, and the writer was there. And I was like, Matt, are you still reading that? And he's like, yeah, I'm still reading it. And I said, I hear they're looking for an artist. And I made the joke. I go, hey, I should have brought my portfolio. And I shit you not, the writer for the book, the creator of the book said, can you go home and get it? Can you? He goes, I'm losing my artist. And he goes, can you bring it? I'm like, that was 32, maybe 30, might even been sub 30-year-old me. And I was like, I should have been like, yeah, I'll have someone send me pictures of everything I've ever drawn. I should. I mean, the maturity and everything. Now, I probably had, skill-wise, I was probably better then because I was drawing more often. But my maturity certainly wasn't the level to ever draw a comic. But I think back and I'm like, that guy was desperate for an artist. Like, if he was just hitting some rando up at his show. And I thought to myself, we were drinking that night. It was a Kansas City show. And I was telling him, I go, man, what a, like, of all the struggling artists and all the struggling writers in the world, how crazy would it have been if I would have got a job just by walking by and mentioning that I drew? Like, I would be hated by everyone. Like,
true.
To give you a picture of, like, how we were at that time, I mean, I just got out of college. It was right out of 9/11. Aaron was, like, fresh out of a marriage, and we just were like on a whim, like, let's fucking move to Kansas City. Let's ditch Springfield. And
that's crazy.
We just, like, I mean, within a week almost, I think we, like,
yeah, it was pretty quick.
Storage. We drove up, and we didn't even have a place to stay, let alone an apartment to rent. And we drove directly to the front doors of Hallmark. Because I thought, well, I'll just walk into the building at Hallmark with my portfolio and show it to them, right?
Wow.
I literally did that to the front desk.
I forgot that. We did.
The lady at the front desk was so nice, but she was like, you know, there's like an online process, right?
Yeah, but even the internet then wasn't so easy to do anything online at that point. That was, what, 01?
It was hard. I mean, the whole online process then was, I mean, I didn't even know the first thing about getting my artwork at all into any kind of image format. I didn't understand.
Oh, no, that. No. Because it wasn't as easy as just save as and picking your format. That was a whole different world back then. Now, if that was 01, I know when 9/11 happened, I was sitting at the retail giant Wally World when 9/11 went down. I can't for the life of me remember how far after that it was that I moved to Kansas City. It had to be, I mean, it was pre-30s because I turned 30 here in St. Louis. So I guess it was
I met you in 05.
No shit. Was it? So you guys were up there for 4 years trying to do your thing before I even came up there.
Yeah,
wow.
I met you right before New Year's Eve of 06.
Mm.
Was the first time we ever all went out.
Yeah. And
so, because my 30th was when, like, the craziness ensued. And so that's the only reason I remember that. Like,
obviously, that's a long time ago, but that was a very short, tumultuous window of time in that life where not only the three of us, but, Hal Powell had he had just moved in with me. And Dusty, and then Dwayne was coming up on the weekends, and even Josh was coming up. He had already came and went.
Yeah, Josh. Man, what, yeah, a, is he was here 03,
yeah,
04.
But what a good moment in time that Kansas City life was. And I wouldn't say we were at the top of our game. We probably were more at the bottom of it, but still, it was a very fun time.
The adventures that will fuel the art that we make.
Yeah.
A lot of them came from that time. So
that was a very, that did a lot to mold who we are. Not, and that's kind of a fun thing. And again, going back to your guys's, certainly life, I mean, easy to say lifelong friendship is, the things that we have done, we've been lucky. I mean, I certainly know that I haven't lived about the same as world travelers. I've done my share of things, but we managed, for being poor guys, as lower class as it gets when we were all at that age in terms of what we were making, we managed to find a way to fit in a lot of really fun and story-filled things. And I got to think, as you guys are doing this, and I'm going to assume that this is, it's not going to end with Psychonauts Presents number 3, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, it was enough to realize that it scratched the itch for now, but it made me realize how bad the itch is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, no, I'm definitely down to something else.
It makes me wonder how many writer, creative teams have the depth of friendship that you guys have had. It can't be many. You know, you probably have to track back to the 60s, 70s of comic books when guys were really coming up together.
Right.
And that's got to be good for storytelling, for your ability to pass things back and forth, your ability to feed off each other.
I've always wondered if we were the next Lee and Kirby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there the fake version Cavalier and Clay or whatever that book was from Shimon? So
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I'm totally. Yeah. I was even because I do have another project in line that I want to do comic wise after Psychonaut Presents. And my wife was talking to me about it the other day, actually, Aaron, of why don't you keep Psychonaut Presents going? Because it's an anthology and you just do that project within Psychonaut Presents and still leave a little bit of room for other things within that anthology. Because I can collect it all and trade later. And, you know, that way we leave room for little collaborations into the future. And I was just like, that might have to be a possibility.
It cracks me up that you had to have your wife tell you that. That, wasn't a thought already.
Well, that's the thing. It's always been a thought. But like I said, right now, my 2021 is insane with projects that I have hopes to drop, because 2020 was such a train wreck that everything
you had time to think about it and work for it.
All condensed.
Yeah, that's well, and again, going back to when I asked you that question, Aaron, about with number one coming out, did that make you guys realize you could do it? It wasn't so much about this from the story aspect of it, but just the fact that once you held that tangible, that book in your hands, it was like, that had to be a great moment to think, oh, fuck, we can do this. This can be something that can be done.
Holding the first issue was all about Moeller.
The
fact that he did this thing that we've dreamt about since we were yay high. Like, that, I could not have been more proud.
It was certainly, I mean, all the adjectives to describe it you could use. Ballsy, you know, impressive. I mean, you did it on your own, which was very cool. And it's great that it inspired the ability to do that. You inspired me, and I can tell you, I'll give you an update. You've inspired me to do it, and I've written all 6 issues of what I want to do. And I would say that I've drawn them. I've drawn the first one. But what happened? Well, what happened was is I wrote the first issue and started drawing it. And then you, in part of the inspiration that you caused in me, you also gave me massive migraines because I realized, going back to that maturity thing, I had a real bad problem of sitting down and sketching the layout and then wanting that to be the final product and forgot about the hours that went in between it. And I was almost like, I would come out with my layout and then I would force the final, and it come out with a picture that I get it's never going to look like what I want. Like, what I want is to look like every image book that's ever made, or you know, to be this polished, professional looking thing. And I realize there's steps it has to take to get there, But because I was forcing all that time, like I was going from, the problem was, is I was going from layouts to inking and forgetting about everything in between. And because I wanted to rush it done. And then I realized, hey, take a step back. You don't have any publisher beating down your door. You don't have an editor saying, here's you've got a deadline. So what I did is I took a step back. I finished probably about a week or two ago writing the remaining five issues, wrote them all, and started resketching the layout to the first one and changing a lot of stuff around. So I think probably my original time I wanted to be Christmas. I'm thinking more like February, March. And I'm going to over Christmas, I'm going to restart drawing that first issue because I've got some great sketches, but everything that went on a board is shit because I got to realize I got to slow down, take a step back. You've done a great job when you show your pictures on Instagram and all that stuff of going from your sketch to your final drawing. And that I kind of said, well, look what Daniel's doing over here. Look at a timeline drawing of any comic artist that puts it out. You can't just snap your fingers and it's done, no matter how time lapse everything people do. And that was my biggest problem. I was trying to rush it out.
Isn't that, they always say though too, like your first 100 pages are just going
to
be it. That's you working it out. And that's why I kind of am doing the stories that I'm doing in Psychonaut Presents right now. Not that I don't care about them, but they're not the big projects, that the milestones that I really want to do, like my next project. This is me doing the exercise. It's me going to school and working out all those kinks and finding my process and finding my hand and just not giving a shit.
That's a healthy way of looking at it, and that's the way I've got to attack it. And I will say this. You and I texted earlier, and you sent over some early looks at the third issue, which looked great. I will say this. There is not just the use of color in the second issue, which is an evolution, but there is a noticeable step up between your art in the first issue and the second issue. And from what I saw in those pages today, if it makes sense, the pages look a little more complicated, the layouts. You don't get better unless you do it. And, you know, again, back to that whole ballsy thing, the evolution that you're doing, you're putting out there for everyone to see, which is pretty courageous. AC kind of did the exact same thing with, you too, Daniel, but with your first book, you were like,
Yeah, I'm never doing that again.
We'll elaborate on that. How come? I mean, why do you say that?
So, in part because, and what I would tell you, like the fact that Moeller is nailed when he shows art and when that art drops in comic form, like that time seems to be perfect. What happened? Like I should have never shown so with Waking the Weaver, it was a little different because I did enough chunk of that book, a large enough chunk that by the time the book drops, it wasn't too bad. The fact that with Monsters in the Park, the next book, I should have never said when I thought it was going to come out. I should never show beyond that piece, the teaser that's in the first book in Waking the Weaver. I shouldn't have showed beyond that because now all I hear when I go to conventions, online is when's Waking the Weaver or when does Monsters in the Park come out? The cover that I had brilliantly done by Sage Tribe Studio.
Yeah,
here
it's a beautiful
Kansas
cover.
City.
Yeah.
Like they've been done for over a year. And the book's still not out.
Yeah. It's funny you say that too.
That's why.
I always do a picture for the Instagram or for the episode cover and stuff. And I was, it's funny you bring it up because that was going to be a question I had filed in my head because I was looking at both your pages to steal some art or some pictures to create that. And the Monsters in the Park cover was on there. And I was like, huh, we're going to have to talk about that.
Well, the fact that it says coming, I think, spring 2019 in Waking the Weaver is just so – it sucks.
I will say this, though, and I think that you probably feel pretty – you have a healthy look at it, but there's no shame that it's not out yet. Your only misstep was saying it was going to be out because nobody would ever fault you for taking your time on any project. And if I remember correctly, with Waking the Weaver, you shared the story with a lot of us way before the book ever saw the light of day.
Oh, I started that. I mean, that started as an a blog exercise. It was basically just characters that would pop into my head that I didn't know what else to do with. So I threw them in this town on a blog just to like for friends. That was in 2010.
Wow.
I ended up self-publishing it in 2018.
So when you said you'll never do that again, all you're referring to is when you tell people something's coming out, but you still.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going right. No more like it's going to be here.
Yeah.
Like that's not happening.
Yeah. Right. It's like what's become pretty popular among musicians now is you just overnight release it. Don't let anybody know what's coming.
Yeah. No heads up.
Yeah. Well, so I want to touch on two and you know, of course, we should say Psychonauts Presents. You can find that at indieplanet.com. Look it up there. The first two issues are out. They're great, man. They're super fun. I think after rereading the first couple issues from the first time you were on here and we talked about it, we described it and I used some of your blurbs for it. But I think after rereading it now, certainly the second issue. I think they're the most Daniel thing you could have, and I think that's probably the biggest compliment that I can give you. They definitely are Moeller, and
I'm putting that blurb on issue three right.
It's
there.
So fun. I mean, they're even better if they. I think they stand alone without having ever met you, but I think meeting you, they're even more fun. And I think that's where certainly I can't speak for Aaron, but I know as your friends, that's probably the what tugs on the heartstrings seeing each issue is that it is Moeller. And that's what's fun about it.
Need to add also, too, that you had a drawing in issue two.
I did. So yeah.
Anybody on the podcast that wants to go get a little Bohannon artwork, it's an issue two. It's an excellent drawing. Thank you.
That was a cool pinup.
I appreciate it. And I'll tell you this. Speaking of inspiration again, you also, Aaron and you both have inspired me. I'm going to do another one for you. And I'm telling you here, and I'm not telling you when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen sooner than later. Is I love the Tales of Suspense, the scary cover that homage that you've done in that you sent, and I want to do one of my own for it too because it's. I mean, there's nothing more pulpy comic booky than that style of cover, and when I saw your. I was like, and Aaron had tackled it through your drawings that you've been trying and stuff too.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I thought about it when I saw yours. And then when you sent that attachment, I was like, I'm going to do it. And you know, taking inspiration from your guys' characters and your books and stuff too, is certainly going to be one of the reasons I'm going to do it. That's why I'm going to use those characters, but it's super fun. But all that blowing smoke up your guys' ass and praising you just a second ago. It did. Yeah, it was good. It was going to lead to this question. AC, you mentioned, and don't give a timetable, so don't give yourself headaches, but what do you have planned for 21? What's author Aaron Conaway doing in 2021 that people should be excited about?
So basically, okay. So with the teaser that's in Psychonauts 3, you get a glimpse of the universe that we built. Anybody that bought Oracle number one from Moeller back in, when did that drop? 2014?
Oh, I forgot about that.
15?
Yeah.
You got, that was the first, Oracle was actually the first, whether he's proud of it now or not, was the first little breadcrumb what we had started building.
Do you remember how I described that to you, AC? I don't know if you ever told Moeller, but how I described it when I saw that artwork and stuff.
I didn't tell Moeller.
You told me. I actually put that on my website banner over Oracle.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't notice. It was your Zen.
It was actually a huge compliment, man. It like made me melt.
Well, when I told AC that, well, so for those that don't know, I said, wow, Moeller just did his Zen Intergalactic Ninja. I said, it's very reminiscent of that. The art, not just in concept of a cosmic book, but just the art was very, you know, we talked earlier about don't rip, you know, don't copy people. But man, I tell you what, sometimes you can't help but really draw from what you love to make something, and you could see that. And I didn't know you used that as a blurb.
You have to draw from what you love.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the best stuff comes from drawing from what you love.
So you guys you're going to go back kind of more. So as you were saying, that
was the first one. This three-page teaser in Psychonaut 3 is another little breadcrumb. And so we eventually get to a point where all we do is that universe. What I have coming out is the kind of the, it's broken down into eras, this universe, this time, this Earth, time on Earth anyway, during our little universe build, is broken down into eras. And what I have coming out is the short story collections equivalents of the comic books that we were going to make.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's the short stories, like all those comics built into short stories, because there's just, even if he and I quit our day jobs and only did that, there's not enough. I mean, there's too many stories to tell. So what I have coming out is the Hallowed Earth, kind of the post-apocalyptic version of our Earth in that universe. And so I've got Jedediah Coldstream, which I wrote a short story about for like the first introduction I ever had of him was long. I mean, it was probably even predates. It's at least right around the time that I started Waking the Weaver on the blog. And it's the Appalachian Blues was a short story that I wrote, a flash fiction piece that I wrote for it. Was my first inkling of putting him out there. So if his stories are going to drop every other month. So
how are you going to drop these? Where are you going to? You're just going to release them online?
I'm going to do ebooks.
Okay.
Every other month. The first 10 months, my game plan is the first 10 months of the year to be ebooks every other month. One Jedediah Coldstream, the other one will be Renaissance, which is kind of where Kansas City is in this post-apocalyptic world, like what it has become. It's this area. And then I'm going to do an omnibus paperback version of all those ebooks for each title in November and December.
That sounds like a good plan. Now, I have to ask you this, too, as a side note. Just because for those that don't know, your lovely wife has been a very good inspiration and editor for you, but she's got her own thing going now. Is she like really into her own thing? Can she still be your editor?
Right. No, she's basically gives marketing advice and massive cheerleader, like totally.
Yeah, gone are the days of her.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, gone are the days of
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So for the let's shout that out real quick, because that's Innovate Her Kansas City. And she's done. You can just tell from her social media or LinkedIn and all that stuff. She's as busy as it gets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Even in the midst of a pandemic, like even if you take away all the events, she's still 24/7.
Well, I mean, it's needed more than ever when you're in a pandemic for what she's doing. So now in addition to keeping the comic book stuff going, what do you got lined up for 2021, Daniel?
Well, I'm going to finish off Psychonaut Presents. I'm looking at 4 issues.
Okay.
So I'm going to finish off this Dark Medicine storyline in issue 4. And my goal, so the story segment in number 2 of Simon Myth and Maxwell Echo the Third, that's actually sort of a prelude to a bigger project that I want to move on to. And it's pretty massive. So when I'm done with Psychonaut Presents, I'm going to finish scripting the whole thing out. I have most of it scripted out and make sure I can tackle it and plan it out because it's pretty big undertaking. But I'm still, working on my regular writing and stuff, too. I actually have some connections with my current publisher, Llewellyn, on possibly getting another book out. And I'm about halfway through that as well.
I don't think when we talked last time, you were looking at your own book. You were talking about writing and other people's stuff for a little bit. But so you decided to dive back into a book of your own again.
Yeah, it just kind of came out. Mm. Real quick, so it's just one of those things that just happens over like a weekend or whatever.
Everything
pours out, and so I'm gonna put some focus on that. But really, it's just right now because Aaron and I have been exchanging ideas too with our shared universe, and it's like I got to keep focused on completing this project because I've had times in the past when I've started something and I've not finished it, and I really want to find some completion.
Doesn't it? Just the fact that you guys are talking about multiple books and multiple projects going, doesn't it amaze you thinking back to like Bendis, Colin Bunn, kind of an extended friend of ours through Josh Roberts and the guys like that are just that do so much stuff at one time. It seems. I mean, I get it. That's their day job. But like you said earlier, Aaron, even if you weren't both of you, this was your day job. Certainly drawing, there's not enough hours in a day to do that many books, and not much writing's not much better. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Not if you want to do it well. Yeah, I mean, it's I can't. That's crazy to me, the amount of projects some of those guys have.
You know, the good news too, speaking of Colin Bunn bringing up, for those that don't know Colin Bunn, Six Gun, multiple Marvel books, his own books, Harrow County, right? That was his, I believe. You know, he didn't start comics, writing comics, until he was 35. Not that we're in our 30s, but, you know, we sit here and we talk about all this creative stuff. We talk about where it's going and what it's doing and stuff. Certainly, the way the world is now, you can't close the book that this might not lead to being a day job at some point in the future. You know, I mean, there's still time. I mean, yeah, Rodney Dangerfield didn't start becoming Rodney Dangerfield and stand up till he was 54. So we got. You know, good 10 years before we're in our 50s, or 54 anyway. So
I forgot. There's one other thing that is coming out.
Oh, what's that?
Hopefully January, February. So I got drafted into an independent endeavor called Weapon Eck.
What was it? Say it again.
Called Weapon Eck. And it's basically an independent homage to the Weapon X series that Barry Windsor
said. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's being spearheaded by William Hofnecht, who does 100% comics, and he's a really great comics ambassador. And he's the one that's doing that Make More Comics grant for artists.
Yeah, that you'd mentioned before. I need to reach out to that guy, too, because I'd love to talk about that on an episode.
I will. Yeah, I'm going to talk to him and see if he wants to be on your podcast. But also James Windsor Smith.
Oh, wow.
Of the Windsor Smith family. And drafted a bunch of independent comic artists to literally just do a retelling of the whole Weapon X storyline. And each of us had a pages assigned to us, and you could do whatever you want. You could have words, you could not have words, you could try to do exactly what Barry Windsor Smith did and do a complete recreation of the page, or you could do it in your own style. And so I got two pages for that. I didn't want to, I could have had more, but I didn't want to
overload yourself. Yeah. You talk about seminal moments in our upbringing in comic books, those Barry Windsor Smith covers for Weapon X. Holy shit, man.
The best.
The best use of color for Wolverine. I mean, just unbelievable.
Perfect. And what's awesome is I got two of the pages I got assigned to were in the scene whenever he gets attacked by those wolves.
Oh, yeah.
And he does them to pieces. And one of my – this is like every comic book boy's wet dream, man.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
Right, the scene I got to draw – was when he had slain the wolves and he's just sitting there with claws out, just screaming. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here drawing this going, oh my God, like I'm drawing Wolverine, blood caked over his claws. And this is going to be published along with James Windsor Smith
yeah.
and a million other comic artists that like, I think are amazing.
Dude, that's a big congratulations to that. I mean,
I'm pretty thrilled.
I'm and this is no disrespect to the other comic artists that are part of that, but the fact that the direct lineage of Barry Windsor Smith is involved, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty thrilled about it. I can't believe I forgot about it earlier, but
now I think this will make the air. You and I were talking about the bourbon you were drinking, Daniel. I AC, before you jumped on, I said in tribute to the fact that I'm here with a couple of guys living in Kansas City, I chose a Lenexa, Kansas distillery as my bourbon for the night. What are you drinking? AC?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm just drinking the cheap stuff. I'm drinking what am I drinking? It's a good question.
Well, I got to tell you,
this is going to devolve into the last time I was on your show.
No, well, like, I can tell you this, and this is certainly not a reflection on you, and I hope not even a reflection on me, but you've hit it out of the park comparative to our last episode we did together, and that was my fault. That was all the bourbon drinking that I put on us.
So that was a combination. I think you touched on most of what it was for me, like, when you guys were on last time, but it was the... It was the two flights.
Yeah.
This was the first interview about Wake and the Weaver.
And I also threw a massive curveball at you to ask you to do a reading, and you really stressed over that.
Well, a little bit, partially because I was wasted.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need this. I want this to sound good. So people are like, I want to read that book. But so I was thinking that. I was thinking like, this microphone is huge. Like,
I could have switched to a smaller one if that's what was intimidating. I didn't know you had a phallic envy here. I didn't know that the size of the mic was too much for you.
Tipsy enough. Well, it's like, so I'm picturing like, oh, I had all kinds of nutty things going on. It was like an Oh Brother, Where Art Thou thing where like, who's listening to this right now? But it wasn't live, so nobody was at that point.
I'll tell you this. There needs to be an episode, and we need to, well, Daniel has brought it up, and I want to go way back to something that you briefly said that no one probably even remembers you brought it up, but you guys used to do these writer's retreats. If there's a moment of jealousy I have for your entirety of your friendship, and you did invite me to one at one point, but it was kind of at the twilight of the event. You guys used to do this annually.
We used to shoot for once a year, yeah.
Yeah, and I was real jealous about those because it would look like it. In fact, I was one jealous, and to be honest with you, I didn't even accept that time because I was hesitant. I was like, you know, I felt like I would have been posing because I wasn't doing anything creative frequently enough comparative to what you two were trying at that time. So I was like, yeah, man, I'm jealous, but I don't want to jump into that world because I feel like I'm definitely an imposter in it. But I'm not saying we do it. You guys bring that back. It would certainly be cool, but we do need a podcast where we're not promoting anything. And we can be drunk. We can have fun. Hell, we could even record us playing a board game. And you and I have had a little bit of side discussion via Facebook with Big D, a mutual friend of ours. I've been, much to the chagrin of my wife, I've been diving into buying board games left and right. In fact, I've probably on my shelf that I put up on the podcast Instagram.
That picture of that shelf.
I've probably bought in the last like 2 years 20 board games that I've not played a one of them yet. So I'm just those. I call that shelf Waiting for AC. That's the title of it. I'm excited and we need it. And I know we're in a pandemic, but I'm sitting here racking my brain as fun as this is and is centered around Psychonauts Presents Number 3 and your guys' collaboration. I feel like there's a drunken debauchery filled episode that would be very fun for people to listen to that has nothing to do with anything. And I can't wait for the ability to do that.
To pull that off. Yeah, no, I'm totally down. That sounds amazing. I mean, the time we did that Geekageddon or whatever we ended up calling it, whenever we all kind of converged on your house and played board games.
Well, the first time was the best when Dwayne came up. That was the best. And I'll tell you this. This is there's no greater compliment than I could give on the next time you came when you did do the podcast. Even though we did get a little silly on the podcast and it wasn't our best one, certainly neither of our best efforts. The board games we played that night and we finished with Clank. The biggest compliment I get is the next day Missy said, maybe we should get that board game Clank. That was fun. And nice. She hates board games. She hates them. Yeah. And she had fun with it. And you made it a fun time. And I don't even think you had played it that much, but it was a great time. I'm
that's a good game.
That's if you don't know, Hikus, me, Dwayne, and a friend of ours named Stan, who has certainly got his share of airtime on my podcast because he was looking for and found a kidney donor so he could keep up a normal quality of life. We have an online D&D session that we've done. The pandemic started it, and we did it. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's certainly a good time. And we haven't been able to do it of late because of the DM, me, and his kids that play sports. But as fun as it is, it does not substitute being in person for us having open bags of chips, booze in front of us, and board game and dice rolling sounds, you know, frequently. I miss that so much.
We ran into that a little bit too with our game. We tried Discord, and it was mostly me that just my computer couldn't hack. Anyway, all the ins and outs of being a DM on Discord, it couldn't keep up, and so it wasn't quality. And yeah, I miss being around a table. I miss it badly. Dusty, Eric, and
I just miss you pieces of shit. You know, I mean, it's certainly the last time I came to Kansas City. Now, I will say this on a note on my last trip to Kansas City. You guys were not able to be there, and I understand why. You know, you were awesome enough to come out and hang out with me last year, AC, Dusty, being in the most very dusty answer, told me he couldn't come and see me because overweight is the percentile that is dying to COVID, and he certainly followed under that. That was his words, not mine. So I didn't get to see you guys. I did get to see Hao Pao and Michelle on the last day. They came and had lunch with me, but I certainly behaved as if I was with you guys and we were back in our 20s, because it was my birthday weekend as well, and I drank so much Jefferson's Ocean. I brought a bottle of Jefferson's Ocean with me, and that I puked. Not my finest moment. It's my daughter's softball or soccer weekend. I puked on the side of the hotel on the sidewalk, and all the other parents walked through it the entirety of the night.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. And I'll tell you what did it for me. And this is fun. Is I was sitting around the table, and there was I'm one of the two oldest dads, you know, among the soccer dads. It's just face facts. I'm the oldest dad on my softball team. I'd be the oldest dad on my co-ed volleyball team, or be the oldest person on that if my wife wasn't 4 months older than me. But
she's gonna love that shout out.
Oh yeah, she loves it. I usually don't preface the 4 months part. I just say she's an older woman, and she hates when I say that. I was sitting around the little fire pit they had, the little propane fire pit they had at the hotel, which was super nice. It made for a great weekend. And it's the Saturday night, so I'm celebrating my birthday. One of the other dads had a birthday a day after mine. And they were like, what are you drinking there? And I said, oh, I'm drinking Jefferson's Ocean. And I said, it's got a very gimmicky story that goes with it. And I think that allows them to charge an extra $15, but it's still pretty smooth. And they're like, oh, what are you drinking it with? And I go, glass? They're like, no, what do you mix it with? I go, oxygen? What are you looking for here? And he's like, you mean you just drink it straight? And all the dads were like, you drink that straight? And I go, yeah, you guys are a little younger than me. And so here's what happened. I drank over half that fifth by myself. They all did take a shot, and they were like, that is smooth. They're going smooth. Like, they didn't mean it. And I was drinking local beer, like very high ABV beer that one of the dads went to a brewery and found some beer that was made in the area. And then one of the dads go, well, for my birthday, I brought this. And he pulled out that screwball, that peanut butter bourbon. And I thought I took a shot. Missy said, no, you did like 10. that's where the puke came from. So it certainly was like, I felt like we were, even though we were in Olathe, I felt like we were out at the Kansas Motor Speedway at the Irish bar getting drunk again and me puking on the side of the building or something. I miss the days. I don't mind, even at 43 years old, I don't mind living our best life like we were in our 20s again. I miss it. I miss it bad.
I miss the company. I don't miss the days. I don't miss the – I'd much rather have just a nice glass, sip on it, and shoot the shit.
Oh, certainly.
Fall down drunk.
Well, I tell you what, I don't mind the fall down drunk as long as the way you describe getting there happens. Me and Hao Pao have said this for years. Especially on these couples weekends that Hao Pao and Dwayne and all of us used to go on, we'd find ourselves into a bar on Halloween night or a club in our costumes. It's my least favorite time. I want to find an Irish bar or a hole in the wall and sit in a corner and drink myself stupid talking about comic books and movies and things of that nature than I do, you know, wanting to go and socialize. I'm not the social wrecking ball that Big D is. I just want to do that.
Which, oh man, speaking of him, like he and April are the sweetest ever. For like when I first met you guys, and this has turned into like reliving the past.
That's okay. That's okay. We're just the only thing I'll say
is so wasted. I broke down the entirety, nearly episode for episode, of the first three seasons of Supernatural.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Like, and who knew that was 15 years or seasons later that you were that show was going to come to?
Or that they didn't care in the slightest about the show. They just sat there nodding politely.
I think it should be noted, I do have another question before we start putting this train into the station about the two of you, but I do think it should be said, though, as we're reliving these, the very... noticeable by the absence is a lot of molar stories, because I don't feel like we need to tell those molar stories.
I've got a wife now. prefer that we would keep quiet.
Yeah, yeah, those we'll keep in the...
It's like his brown M&M's equivalent, right? We weren't supposed to bring anything up. Like,
Hey, I do want to say this. You talked... We have been touching on a little bit of pop culture and stuff of that. But you guys, I mean, we've said where we've drawn, and we've mentioned a lot of 90s comic books. I mean, which is understandable for our age group. But what... You know, real quick though, what's going on now that gets you inspired when you watch it on TV or reading it, or whether that's comic book books, TVs, movies? What's getting you guys going now? And really, because I still feel when I watch something that I truly love, I don't know if either of you have watched Fleabag yet on Amazon Prime, but if you have not, it's two or three seasons, very short seasons, 30-minute episode. It's the greatest use of the fourth wall in the history of TV, I think, and it's just an incredibly well-written show. So when I watch stuff like that or see stuff like what you've done, Daniel, that inspires me to get going. What is it that you guys are tuning into on a weekly basis that's getting you going still?
Go ahead, Mueller.
Take it, Daniel.
Go ahead.
Well, in terms of like TV, we're not tuning into anything too contemporary. I mean, I'm really into Mandalorian, of course.
Oh, so great.
Star Wars junkie, and it's like, I mean, especially with like the last episode that came out on Friday, it was an awesome opportunity for me to school the kids on all of the Star Wars mythology that started with the novels. Like, they're like, what is she talking about when she talks about Grand Admiral? I'm not going to try to spoil it or anything. I guess I should have.
No. 1, 2, 3 spoilers coming. So there you go.
Yeah. So whenever she talked about Thrawn, like, kids were like, is that supposed to mean anything? I was like,
I got a force inspired boner when she said that.
Yeah, I freaked out. And they were like, what are you doing? Are you having an epileptic seizure, Dad? What's happening?
In my head, I hope Timothy Zahn shed a tear somewhere. Like,
yeah. So that was pretty cool. I'm really enjoying that show. And we're also pretty deep into his Dark Materials on HBO Max.
Is that good?
It's really good.
Because they did the movie, which sucked. The movie,
That movie pales in comparison. I don't know if you've read the books at all. The books are actually pretty fantastic.
Never had. I've been thinking about trying it.
Yeah, they're really fantastic. Really big on like Gnostic mythology and kind of fighting against the thing that is controlling the universe. Like, really cool shit. And the series is playing it off really well. And it's fun. It's weird because it kind of seems like it's for kids, but it's really not, because it has Star's kids and everybody's got animals and shit. But the themes in it are so high and heavy and sophisticated.
I mean, I think best example of that would be from the beginning to the end of Harry Potter for those that have read that. I mean, by the end of that book, that's not a kid's book series. No. That's a very complex series. That's awesome. What about you, AC?
I'm Mandalorian. As far as television goes, I have limited that quite a bit. I was actually not too bummed to see Supernatural go because I had followed it for the 15 years. But
what a long, what an amazing accomplishment in TV history. That was didn't it start as a CW, or is that where it ended? Didn't it start? I mean,
CW.
Yeah. I mean,
was it still CW then? I don't remember. It may have been whatever it was before CW.
15 years on an independent network like that. What an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah. And I mean, so with it leaving, it was another show I didn't have to keep up with. So like I dabble more with, I read the stuff that influences what I'm working on. So for Timberhaven, I read a lot of The Lent. I reread Gaiman short stories.
Yeah.
Jedediah Colstream is wickedly influenced by Richard Matheson, Manly Wade Wellman, a ton.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's basically just kind of mining. Well, speaking of like writing what you love, or writing, you know, taking what you love and running with it, that's happened a ton. I mean, those are just a few of the name drop authors that have influenced me and kind of put me in that headspace to work.
Well, and for those that are listening that don't know either of you, and I do, I mean, we're we're slowly building back up to that 1,000 episode downloads a month. That I used to be well above that plateau before I changed the name, and it's been a fight. And then I took some time off through the pandemic, but we're getting there. But for those, so there'll be a, the, my point is, there's a lot of people listening to it that probably aren't comic book fans, or but so if they want to know kind of what you were talking about, where the influence for that character you're talking about, Richard Matheson, for those that don't know, he wrote What Dreams May Come, Stir of Echoes, I Am Legend.
I Am Legend's is big.
I Am Legend. Well, I'd argue they're all big. I Am Legend just happened to have the biggest actor and has been made the most time in movies.
Yeah, but that was like one of the better vampire stories even before that movie.
Top three vampire stories ever told. That short, what was that? Not under a 200-page short story. Just a great book. Yeah. Great story.
Yeah. 150-page plus.
But he's had a lot of stuff turned into stuff. So for and I'm sure between all of those things we mentioned, some people will kind of get it and check them out. I think it's good to draw a comparison to what you're doing with a writer like Richard Matheson, because then people there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this that aren't comic book fans but probably read or at least watched a movie that Richard Matheson has inspired.
Oh, they've definitely seen at least a play on Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Oh, yeah.
It's like been redone 1,000 times with the gremlin on the wing.
Yeah, absolutely. From Twilight Zone. You're talking about Twilight Zone, which has been done twice, two different Twilight Zones from the film and the series.
Riffed on it, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. It's funny that you both brought up the Mandalorian because I, with the exception of Ted Lasso on Apple Plus and
Schitt's,
and Schitt's Creek, which I just shotgunned me and the wife and finished last month. Ted Lasso and Schitt's Creek, I think, are the best TV I watched in 2020. Mandalorian would come third, and it's not because it's because those are just Mandalorian doesn't. It does its best to tell a human interest story, but, it's still a sci-fi. But as we were sitting here doing this episode, my youngest daughter came downstairs, and I don't know what she wanted, but she came downstairs, gave me a cute look, like a suspicious look, and then she went back upstairs. And I thought she wanted something, but she saw I was recording. No, as it turns out, what she did is Costco has these, I think they're called Smash Melons, these giant stuffed animals. And I don't know if you saw that we have one for the studio now, and it's a Grogu, it's a baby Yoda, and all she was doing was coming down and stealing baby Yoda to take it back upstairs with her, because we're in a tug of war over this damn stuffed animal. Is it hers or is it the studio's? And I can tell you unequivocally that it's the studio's. It's not hers. It's not hers, but she steals it every chance she can get. Also with the Mandalorian too, I think, and we talked about this 2 weeks, this will be the third week in a row now, I think in terms of what season two has accomplished, which has been big things, I think the best testament to how good season two is I don't feel like there's been a break between one and two. I think this is just one long-running season that's been unbelievably good.
So it feels.
I would agree with that. I do have a small concern now. Like, I've loved everything. I've loved everything up until this point. My only concern is that I don't want it to tie too heavily into previous arcs. I definitely don't want it to turn into anything touching Skywalker.
No, I agree with you there.
We did it.
Not I don't. I don't up. Mind it being the springboard that future stuff comes from.
That's fine.
Yeah. In fact, not Jon Favreau, who everyone knows, but what's the other director and writer that's been the Dave whatever his name is, who was very instrumental in Rebels and Clone Wars and all that stuff. Let them get rid of Kathleen Kennedy. Let them take over the keys to the kingdom and let them guide the ship and everything. I don't think it. I certainly know that it would, in terms of the House of the Mouse, is probably a ballsy thing to say or a scary thing to say. Let's let the TV show be the center for what comes next, the new nexus for what comes next. But you'd be hard pressed to find a better branching off for stories than Mandalorian. It's great, and everything they've interjected is great.
Have you watched Disney Plus? They've got that the little side series about the Mandalorian, where like the directors all talk.
I have not watched that yet.
Dave, I feel horrible for messing up his name. I haven't said his name. he does a breakdown in one of the episodes, and it's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes long of the prequel trilogy that gave me so much respect for the prequel trilogy, which I've never been a hater of it.
I have.
There are things about it I don't like, but like he does such an eloquent job that the entire rest of the room stops and lets him talk. Like there's no break in him breaking down just how much not only Star Wars means to him, but like how well it's mapped out if you look at it from the perspective that he's providing.
Dave Filoni, F-I-L-O-N-I. By the way, on Apple Plus or Disney Plus, if you guys haven't watched, I'm not going to say it's stellar, but it's certainly interesting and it's great background entertainment with the exception of one episode, and that's Japanese Spider-Man because you got to read subtitles. Have you watched 616 on that yet?
No, I saw it, but I haven't.
It's very fun to watch.
One thing with Dan Slott on it, like this episode where Dan Slott like writing an issue and it was like the inside on writing.
Dude, it's awesome.
Oh, well, yeah, it was pretty fun.
It's a fun watch about the history of some of the big events that happened to Marvel. And I tell you this, I knew about Japanese Spider-Man. I never really gave it two thoughts. But it made me want to seek out and watch episodes of Japanese Spider-Man. I mean, it's some fun stuff. Man, I guess with that said, we've kind of digressed into just talking about comic book stuff. So before we wrap up, and before I have to go upstairs and actually, and I, by the way, I will say this, moving it from 8 to 5:30 or whatever time we started was a great move because earlier in the day, my wife had forgot. And the podcast has become at least something enough in my life that it goes on the family calendar. And the wife did not check the family calendar that I had 8 o'clock booked from 8 to 10 o'clock booked. And she was like, hey, let's sit down and let's watch a Christmas movie together tonight. And I was like, well, I'm doing a podcast. So the moving it to 5:30 was a tremendous win in my household. So,
nice.
But before we do go, let's go ahead and I'll start with you, AC, since Aaron comes first in the alphabet. Let's let everybody know, one, where they can find you on social medias, and two, where they can find your stuff for sale.
Social media has been lacking lately, so I've got to catch that back up. But basically, yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me. So the best place to find me right now, which sounds like I'm saying, give me your money, but Patreon is where I've got it set up to where all the ebooks that will be coming out, if depending on what tier you pick on my Patreon, if you pick that, you'll get them. They're gonna be posted every month on Patreon.
All right, so I apologize for missing that. I did not know you were doing that, and maybe I did. Maybe I drunkenly stumbled across it. But so, what are you doing on Patreon, and what's the name on Patreon?
It's Aaron Conaway. Patreon, so far I've got it's short stories, flash fiction, stuff that takes place in Timberhaven, stuff that takes place in Harrowed Earth, a couple of just stories that don't fit in anywhere. They're depending if you pick one tier, I'll read them to you, which hopefully is better than whenever I read an excerpt from Waking the
Weaver. Again, not your fault. That was the booze's fault.
I was sober when I read them, so.
It was fine. That was my favorite episode.
I love it.
That's where I've been living a lot lately. But yeah, I'm still on Facebook. You can find me on my website, aaronconaway.me, which is getting revamped to accommodate everything that's going to be coming out in 2021.
So not to be too Seinfeldian here on you, but 2021, the year of the Aaron, right?
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, 42, when I turned 42, that was a great year. That's my book dropped. I started doing conventions. I'm hoping that we're in this weird.
Let's throw it out there. Let's say this. I hope to have a comic book out. There's some other things writing wise I've reached out to some people and come up with. Let's call the 2021 the year of us being creative. How about that?
There you go.
All right, Moeller, I got one question, and then I want you to remind people where they can find you. Is Psychonauts 2 came out this past month. I got mine 2 weeks ago, and I ordered it pretty quick ahead of time, and I saw some people got theirs. But not to rush things, but when do you think Psychonauts Presents number 3 would be out?
Well, I'm done drawing Psychonauts 3.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. But that's half the battle right there.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping this Christmas season I can get it all colored and Psychonauts 3 will be out. So
let's say early
spring.
Yeah. I was going to say February, March.
Since COVID, the staff at Indie Planet have been way back.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. That's not anything that you're doing.
Yeah. So, but that's great because by the time issue 3 drops, I'll be halfway through issue 4, right? So,
awesome. That's the best way to look at that. So, I'll say it again real quick and then you give us a rest. IndiePlanet.com. And certainly go to IndiePlanet. Everyone listening here, go to IndiePlanet.com. And for those that are local, and I do have a lot of local people listening, if you can prove to me that you go to IndiePlanet.com and buy a copy of Psychonauts Presents, you know where to find me. You know where I'm drinking in St. Charles County that is still allowed to drink. I will buy you a beer. And if you ask me to sign the page that of my art, I will buy you 2 beers. I will pay you to sign your comic. So you can't beat that.
I'll match that deal here in Kansas
City. Yeah, right. If you're in Kansas City and you heard it on here, he'll match it. So do that. And then also, and while you're on Indie Planet, because we are certainly massive fans of independently produced stuff, check out everybody's stuff. But go there for Psychonauts Presents and stay for everything else. So where else can people find Daniel Moeller?
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on Instagram, DanielMoellerWeb.com. Most of that stuff feeds into my Facebook. I have a professional Facebook page. I'm thinking about retiring that. Just follow me on Facebook or Instagram, and you can find my website, DanielMoellerWeb.com. I have a shop there with all my books and everything.
I'm glad you said that you were planning on retiring it, because I actually was going to start one. And I was like, should I? Because I'm going to kick out a lot more art and some things. And I was like, should I? And you saying you retire, because I was on the fence saying you're going to stop doing it. No offense, AC, because I know you have a professional side one. But I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to keep putting them out on the one that's there.
Yeah, but I don't use that. I'm on Instagram as well. Like, yeah. I basically live social media wise. I really only do Instagram and then that feed.
You do a great job on Instagram still too.
I get way more hits on my personal page than I do my business page. Like the algorithms to keep that.
Oh, thing. Facebook's algorithm. Exactly. Yeah. It's horrible for that.
Well,
I don't want to pay that much money.
I'm going to I want you to stay on for a second longer after I hit stop and record, because there was something you brought up that I wanted to bring up as talk about, but we don't need it for the episode. But for the fact of this episode, I don't have any of my co-hosts here. I want to say this, guys. I hope how much fun talking to you guys comes across on everyone else listening, because I love you guys and I love talking to you guys, and goddamn, man, I miss the hell out of both of you. And AC, you and I have been a little bit of friends longer than me and Moeller, and I can't stress. I mean, both of us were in your wedding. I can't stress enough how when I saw those pictures come up, it made me feel nostalgic and sad for all the right reasons. So I like I said, I love the shit out of you. So I'll raise what's left in this glass and cheers you men. Cause hey, and congratulations, you guys will be the first time I've used a clip to promote the episode, cause I'm recording this. So anyway, that's where we're at. So I'm going to stop it. No one's here. And I'm just going to say the music's playing right now. Thanks, guys.